The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Guess what? Remember I had a friend named John Zmirak? Yeah? Well, here he is. John, welcome.
Hi, Eric. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. I always am conflicted every year because we haven't celebrated Greek Orthodox Easter.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm still kind of holding it back. Well, isn't it bizarre, though, that, you know, I just feel that way every year. Yeah. And so when the two are on the same date,
I love that. You
know, every 5 or 6 years, it I feel restored and whole. But anyway.
Yeah, I agree. And my dream is that they all be on the same day and Passover, that they all coincide every year.
Yeah, and then the end will come. And then
exactly.
The Valley of Megiddo. I want to talk to you about current events. One of the current events is Jesus is risen from the grave. Behind you, if people are watching this on video, they can see the resurrection. Who did that painting?
You know, I have the painting. I don't have the painter's information. I'm guessing it's 17th century because it's kind of mannerist. It's
very
from the point
good
of view,
guess.
Point of view of one of the Roman guards while it happens.
It has that look. Isn't it interesting that we can sort of guess the century from the calves? From the size of the calf muscles, right?
It's almost as if we got educated at a once great institution.
Oh, my God. Well, it's kind of funny because I had Naomi Wolf on the other day and I thought, you know, can anything good come out of Yale? Evidently, some good things can come out of Yale. We can all agree on a few things. John, I want to talk to you about what you're writing. But before that, you and I did an interview with The Stream, or I should say you interviewed me. And that's still not up, but I am really excited about that because I was in Dallas. We got together. We videotaped. I mean, it really was fun. So I'm looking forward to the guys when they edit that. I want to put it out on social media.
Yeah, me too.
Because it was crazy. It was really fun.
It showed me how fun it would be for you and I to have a weekly 1 hour talk show. On, you know, it would be like the old Dick Cavett show kind of combined with the old Carol Burnett show.
That I think that's about it. I also want to talk to you about Mark Judge did a review of my book, but let's put the stuff to the side. You have been writing as you always do. What do you want to talk about? You've written articles at stream.org. And I say to people, go to stream.org, print out John's articles, leave them around your neighborhood. I'm not kidding. Am I? Okay, John, what have we got?
Well, I wrote a couple of pieces about the issue of racism, or rather the false issue of so-called systemic racism and the false religion that calls itself anti-racism, which is in fact a left-wing, secular, anti-Christian movement that's trying to colonize our churches, our seminaries, and our schools. It's not about fighting segregation. It's not about fighting hatred or discrimination. It's about promoting the idea that Western civilization and large chunks of what the Christian church has always taught from the beginning in Egypt, in Ethiopia, in India, and Armenia are all part of this conspiracy theory called systemic racism. Sean King, a columnist at the New York Daily News, once a great working class paper that my dad, the mailman, used to read every day. The New York Daily News is now a left-wing tabloid, and it employs this man named Sean King, whose skin is lighter than yours is today, Eric. He is very white-looking, and on his birth certificate, it says both his parents are white, but he claims otherwise. He identifies as black and somehow is getting away with it. I've heard of
the Rachel Dolezal type.
I've heard him called Talcum X.
Okay. That is so awesome. I cannot believe it.
Yeah.
Talcum X.
Because Eric, right now with your little tan, you're darker than he is. Okay. But
God, we have to make fun of this stuff because we're walking on eggshells in this culture. You and I refuse to walk on eggshells. I mean, the absurdity that we say that Kamala Harris is the first, you know, what is she being called? Is it African-American or Black American?
I call her mattress girl since she slept her way to the middle and clawed her way to the top.
Well, I guess my point is that it reveals the absurdity of talking about race. You know, 160 years after we went to war, slavery.
60 years since the Civil Rights Act, which was extremely important. I would agree that up through the Civil Rights Act and its full implementation, it was legitimate to talk about systemic racism. But now, with a massive Leviathan industry of diversity and anti-discrimination enforcement that protects every group on the face of the earth from discrimination except white males. Did you know that, Eric? We, you and I, as white males, can be fired and we can't sue. They can basically, in most states, they can come in and say, I'm firing you because you're a white male. And there's nothing we can do. John,
the good news is we always have our white privilege to carry with us in a satchel as we go on the bum. As we ride the rails looking for slices of pie on open windows, we've got our white privilege, you know, to hang on to. And it's important.
So I did a piece.
We can say, doggy, don't chase me. I have white privilege. Thank you.
I whip my white privilege card out and they give me free food at the Waldorf Astoria. It's reminded of the great Eddie Murphy routine where white face, he pretends to be white. It was a great Saturday Night Live skit. And indeed, people would give him free dinner at fancy restaurants and he was allowed to commit crimes and not be prosecuted. It was a brilliant satire of racial resentment. And that's where we should be. We should be trying to have fun together and treat each other kindly as fellow Americans and fellow Christians, not dividing along racial lines.
Most sincere Christians that I know who are Black, that's how they behave. I mean, this is the problem, is that because of the media, we get a very, very false view of how people in America think. And that's part of what we try to do on this show.
And the self-appointed so-called Black leaders, like Senator Raphael Warnock, who the guy was elected in Georgia. Yeah. He attended the funeral of Fidel Castro and praised Castro. He recently issued a statement that we can all save ourselves, whether or not what. Regardless,
I spoke about this. I was on Jenna Ellis's show. She has a show on America's Voice, obviously Black, if you know him. And he and I talked about that, about the staggering heresy of saying we could save ourselves. I mean, it is genuine heresy.
Save ourselves through politics, by voting Democrat. You can go to heaven, whether or not you believe in Jesus Christ, or I guess perform abortions personally. And, you know, Sean King, who I brought up earlier.
Yeah, let's go back to Sean King, because Malcolm I'm not really aware of him. So he's a columnist for the Daily News. He's very, very big. He identifies as a Black man,
as a Black leader. And he wrote a column for Easter where he said it superficially pious piece. And I've got a stream. I got a piece on it at the stream. It's called Sean King's Christian Face Minstrel Show, because he's putting on a Christian face over what's in fact something very different. In it, he talks about there is the Jesus of the Gospels, and then there's the white man's Jesus. And the white man's Jesus is a fraud designed to gain power and oppress people. And then he goes through to explain what he thinks the real Jesus is. He talks about the corporal works of mercy, taking care of the poor, visiting the prisoner, things Christians have been doing since the very beginning, Christians of every race. And but he talks about it in terms of the government doing it, voting that way. So we have to vote for the government to do all the good things that Jesus told us to do as the price of getting into heaven. If you get the government to do it, if you vote Democrat and get the government to take money from one guy and give it to another guy, that apparently fulfills everything that will be asked of you on the day of judgment.
This is mind-blowing stuff. Folks, if you're listening This is the Eric Metaxas Show. If you're not Skelton Show, so please make sure that you're listening. Please go to MyPillow.com. Use the code Eric, and we'll be with John Smirak.
I like the way your sparkling earrings lay against your skin so brown.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day, to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out.
Folks, we are back with John Smirak, who in the previous segment acquainted me with the name Talcum X. John, you were referring to whom when you said Talcum X?
New York Daily News columnist Sean King, who was one of the most rabid haters of Donald Trump and all Republicans. He's, as far as I know, he's never said anything about abortion or about religious liberty, but he's talking about the white man's Jesus, who is a false god, a false prophet. And the white man's Jesus is associated with people who want to control our national borders and enforce laws against violent crime and protect, you know, ordinary people's property rights. I'm staggered by the race baiting. He seems to suggest that white people are the only sinners in the world, and non-whites never sin. Presumably, they didn't even need to get saved. They just needed Jesus as their political advocate to teach them to vote for Joe Biden. And in my column at stream.org, I recommend he rent a movie called Hotel Rwanda about the Rwanda genocide, in case he wonders whether or not non-white people also commit sin and need our Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, the level of race baiting and demagoguery, it really made me think of Rwanda. And I thought, in the media, there are so many places talking about white privilege and toxic whiteness and white fragility. Just plug in Tutsi. Because in Rwanda, the Tutsis had more money and some more political power than the Hutus. And the media began this barrage of hatred against the Hutus, constantly demonizing them, constantly talking about Hutu privilege, about Tutsi privilege, and it resulted in a genocide. Now, I don't think we're going to have a genocide here in America, but we're going to have a lot of hatred and division.
Well, I want to say, just as a teaching point, for anybody's interest in what the Bible teaches, anytime you speak about groups, It's wicked. God looks at us as individuals. He loves each of us equally. So when you try to say, like, women are this, men are this, blacks are this, and anytime you do that, you're outside of the bounds of scripture, because God doesn't look at us as groups. Very important, because it's a thing that we do naturally. Our sin nature wants us to put people into groups and to be racist, to be tribalist, whatever it is. That is our sin nature. And whenever people express that, you have to say, stop, that is not biblical. God, that now actually keep talking, because I want to make sure that we go back to a point.
Great. I got another piece coming soon to your kids' classroom, the protocols of the elders of Jamestown. This is another example of me trying to be winsome, Eric. Do you remember the protocols of the elders of Zion? They were a nasty, vicious conspiracy theory that said the Jews, as a privileged minority, have been conspiring to destroy everyone else and suppress everyone else, and that, in fact, it claimed that the Jews were responsible for all the evils of modernity, capitalism and communism.
For people who aren't aware of this, when roughly was this written? This was a piece of pure propaganda, pure lies. It was called the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. It purported to be a real thing.
Right.
That it was a made up, vicious, anti-Semitic lie. When roughly was that published?
It was concocted, historians think, by the Tsar's secret police around 1910. It ran in a Russian newspaper, and then Henry Ford read it and was convinced by it and ran it, a whole series on it, in the newspaper he controlled, the Dearborn Independent.
Okay, thank God I drive a Chevy. I just want to be clear. I drive a Chevy.
It was put in a book form. The Nazis translated it into German and used it eagerly. It is still a bestseller in the Arab world. Well, we have our American equivalent. It's called the 1619 Project.
Right.
It, too, was launched by a newspaper, the New York Times. It is now being disseminated in classrooms. They created lesson plans for it. It's being left-wing teachers' unions are pushing it in blue states all across America. This 1619 Project is full of historical errors and outright falsehood. Liberal, progressive, woke historians have been denouncing it because it's full of outright falsehoods. Like, it claims that the real founding of America was not the Mayflower Compact in 1620, not the Declaration of Independence in 1776. The real American founding was when a group of like 20 slaves landed in Virginia and the institution of slavery started. The 1619 Project claims that the United States declared independence in 1776 because they were afraid King George III would free the slaves. And so we broke off from Britain and wrote the Declaration of Independence, and the Constitution was all about slavery, that our whole economic system was based on slavery, not just through the Civil War, but after that. That Abraham Lincoln was a virulent racist who waged the Civil War in order to expel all blacks from North America against their will, and that slavery and racism are at the very heart of America, so you should tear down the statues of the founders. And when the Claremont Review wrote a column calling the riots from in 2020 the 1619 riots, the leader of the 1619 Project, Hannah Price Jones, I think her name is, said she was honored by that. She hoped that the 1619 Project was behind the riots that tore down statues of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Frederick Douglass, and Abraham Lincoln. This is being spread into schools all across the country via our radical left-wing teachers' unions. It's a conspiracy theory. Everybody's crazy and everybody's vicious as the protocols of the Elders of Zion. But this is what we face today.
It is a staggering thing that we have to, you know, rehearse the basics. We're talking about really basic stuff. If you are homeschooled, you don't have these problems. But if you go to any other school, including some Christian classical schools, they have leaned into the woke madness, and we're here to hold the line.
The buzzword is critical race theory. If anybody says we're going to use critical race theory, you have to realize they're a Marxist. Whether they know it or not, they're spreading Marxism that is completely incompatible with Christianity, including the deep faith of the black community, and the civil rights movement itself, which helped bring a restoration of a great deal of justice to our country. Thanks be to God.
If you hear anybody talk about critical race theory, put on your track spikes and sprint in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Okay, John, you've written a lot more. I want to tell people again, stream.org. Folks, I don't know how often I can say it. Please go to stream.org. Please share these videos with everyone you know. Please put them on social media. Please share John's articles. We need to get the word out. We don't have a big budget for that. You are our budget. John, what else have you written about?
I've got another piece which will appear Thursday this week, today. It's Pope Francis is trying to rehabilitate Judas. Pope Francis is issuing statements and ran things in the Vatican newspaper saying that we probably ought to consider that Jesus may, that the Judas may be in heaven too. Even though the church has looked at the words of Christ, where Christ said at the Last Supper to his disciples at the first Eucharist, Christ said, the one who betrays the Son of Man, it would be better for him if he had never been born. What could that possibly mean? What could it
He's
possibly
the one that
mean?
The scripture refers to as the son of perdition.
Yes.
Perdu, lost.
That's right. That's right. And if you see the bit, you know, the Greek Orthodox liturgy talks about it all the time. In fact, before going to Holy Communion, you say, I will not betray you. I will not give you a kiss like Judas. That's part of the preparation for Holy Communion. You're encouraged to examine your conscience to see how you might have been like Judas. If Judas is up there in heaven enjoying matzahs with the rest of the apostles, the whole drama of salvation becomes a Seinfeld episode where whatever happens, the ending is the same. And the whole drama of salvation, if everyone is saved, which is what Pope Francis is suggesting, if everyone is saved, even Judas, then we're not in a drama of salvation. We're part of some cosmic process of evolution whereby we are all transformed, whether we want to be or not, into what God wants us to be, and we all go to heaven, which would be wonderful if Jesus had not said otherwise. If Jesus was not constantly warning people about the dangers of damnation, if this theory is true, then Jesus was manipulating people. He was frightening them with false dangers of damnation, when in fact he's just chuckling, yeah, now they're all going to get the dog treat.
You're just saying that for effect.
Yeah.
It's just shtick. It's just shtick. I'm Jewish. It's shtick.
It's vaudeville. Turns into vaudeville.
I want to ask you, John, are you aware, before we go to the break, are you aware that Mike Lindell, he's the Edison of our day, he's invented a new kind of pillow. He's invented a new kind of towel. Did you know that he has invented a new pair of slippers called My Slippers? Did you know that?
I did not. I probably should get his pillow.
I don't know what world you're living in, pal, but we need to make sure you get a pair of My Slippers. Other people can go to MyPillow.com and use our code Eric, and the slippers will practically dance their way into your mailbox. Don't go away. Hey folks, you certainly heard me talk about MyPillow and how their products have literally changed my life. Now, have you tried the pillow? They don't go flat. You can wash them, dry them as many times as you want, and they maintain their shape. They're made in the USA, and for a limited time, Mike Lindell is offering his premium MyPillows for the lowest price ever. You can get a standard queen premium MyPillow for $29.98. It's originally $69.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener's square, and use promo code Eric. There you'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Folks, you know I use these products, and they're fantastic. Call 800-978-3057 and use promo code Eric, or call 800-978-3057. Use the promo code Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you take away one thing from this program, it is that you need to go to MyPillow.com, use the code Eric. If you can only take away two things from the program, the other thing is remember that Sean King of the New York Daily News has been dubbed Talcum X. John, that is so brilliant. Who dubbed him Talcum
X? That, I cannot take credit for that. That was apparently floating around on the internet, part of the great hive mind of the internet when it's not censored.
It really, that's just so funny. People, that's one of the fun things, let's be honest, about social media is that a nobody who is funny can throw something out there and suddenly everybody knows about it, you know. So then
he gets banned. Speaking of bans, have you seen Sidney Powell's interviews with Dinesh D'Souza?
I have not, but I want you to talk about that. Sidney Powell, of course, is a hero. What do you think about what she is doing right now? Well, actually, forget that. Let's get to that. But talk about statements and how the press twisted them.
Right. She is courageously fighting a billion-dollar company, Dominion. They're trying to sue her for defamation for claims she made as part of a legal case as an attorney. The freedom to make legal claims, to make a legal case on behalf of your client, is one of the most fundamental rights in America. Imagine if every defense attorney trying to defend someone they think is innocent had to worry that they could be sued for what they said in court on behalf of their defendant. That's what we're talking about. Sidney Powell was acting as an attorney, presenting legitimate evidence-based criticisms of the way the elections were conducted in 2020 and the security holes she found, echoing Amy Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren, who had both filed things criticizing Dominion security. The state of Texas rejected Dominion for these security breaches. So Sidney Powell was presenting what she believed was evidence on behalf of her client. Now she's being sued for defamation. They're trying to destroy her. They're trying to make it so that attorneys will be afraid to represent clients in conservative cases. And we know that a number of lawyers who tried to help Donald Trump in the election were kicked out of their law firms. They were kicked out of partnerships. We know the Democrats, we know that Harvard law students and faculty tried to revoke the diplomas of Senator Ted Cruz and Senator Josh Hawley. People called for them to be disbarred for even daring to raise legal evidence-based questions about the 2020 election. Well, they're doing that to Sidney Powell in spades. And one of her legal responses was distorted and misquoted by the media to make it sound as if she was dismissing every claim she'd ever made about Dominion and about the 2020 election just in order to save her skin. Right. This is not, in fact, the case. And Dinesh D'Souza has a four-part series on Rumble where he interviews Sidney Powell, and she goes through how the media distorted what she said. And I saw, Eric, on Twitter, people were sneering at you and at me. Oh, how are they doing after Sidney Powell has retracted all her claims? You think they're okay? You and I, because both of us took Sidney Powell seriously and thought that she had a right to be heard and that America needed to hear these criticisms about election security. Now, look, Georgia passes a law trying to plug some of the ridiculous, absurd holes in their election laws. And Major League Baseball takes the All-Star game away from them and sends it to Colorado, where the election laws are stricter than the new laws in Georgia.
I just want to say part of the theme here, John, is that right now, when you mention this, in other words, this so-called cancel culture, which is basically fascist, when you shut people down, you're afraid of what they say. You don't believe in free speech. You don't believe in these things. So that's why we have to educate everyone in America, everybody in the world about what is freedom, what are the tenets of freedom, so that when they break those, you know, understood rules of civil society, of a free society, we know what's happening. I want to mention the New York Times, this is related to what you're saying, has recently been demonizing evangelicals, and they have singled me out as well. It's a great badge of honor. They've singled me and other evangelicals out for being anti-vaccine, okay? Now, what I find funny is that that's not enough for them. They have to say, because of this, this is like demonizing Jews. Because of this, people are going to die. Because of this, our society will never be able to get rid of COVID, and people will die and die and die because of the evangelicals like Eric Metaxas. And
I
is this happening? Yes, it is happening. That's the front page of the New York Times. Ruth Graham and a young woman, I can't think of her name, but anyway, go ahead.
Eric, that is 1 millimeter away from the people in the Middle Ages who said the Jews were causing the plague.
And that's what I thought of, John. That's exactly why I keyed you up, because that's exactly what I thought of.
So, and once you start thinking of people as vectors of contagion, as contaminants, as like typhoid Marys running around society, it's very easy to then start thinking of them as contaminants themselves, as themselves disease bacilli, which is what Hitler called the Jews. And when, by the way, this is happening to gun owners too. Whenever there's a mass shooting, especially if it's a white Christian, but even if it's a Muslim immigrant, a Syrian refugee, as happened a couple of weeks ago, you get all these statements, especially from mainline Protestant churches and the U.S. Catholic bishops and some woke evangelicals. They talk about gun violence. They don't talk about sin, about murder.
Right, they talk about gun violence.
Gun violence.
Defending myself from being raped with a gun, that's gun violence.
Gun violence.
Right back, folks. I'm talking to John Zmirak. Remember, don't ever have a Coke again, no matter how thirsty you are. Poison. Folks, I'm talking to John Zmirak. Starts with a Z. Very curious. John.
Okay.
You're talking about gun violence, and you're working on a book. You still don't have a publisher.
So I do.
Do. All right.
I have a publisher. The book's going to be called God, Guns, and the Government. And what I'm going to, in this book, I'm going to show the profound connection between gun rights and religious freedom. Our Second Amendment was lifted almost whole from the English Bill of Rights of 1689. And in that English Bill of Rights, it explicitly connected gun rights with religious freedom. And it said we need to protect gun rights in order to protect religious freedom. And that was coming out of the English Civil War, where religious persecution had singled out the Puritans and the Presbyterians for persecution. So they said, we will never be disarmed again, lest we be persecuted for our religion. Those are the groups that settled America. Those are the people who led the American Revolution. And if you read the sermons building up to 1776, they're all about your religious duty to arm yourself and form militias to protect your community, not the government, the citizens. And when the Second Amendment was adopted, if you read the debates among the founders, every one of them affirmed that an armed citizenry is the last safeguard against the rise of tyranny in America. Well, if you look at the 20th century, there's a fascinating book called Death by Government. Death by Government. It's available free on the internet. It's uploaded there. The author, R.J. Rummel, documents that 170 million civilians were murdered by their governments between 1910 and 1990. 170 million. What did they have in common? I mean, we're talking China, Russia, Germany. What did those victims have in common? They had all been disarmed by their government.
I mean, this is such basic stuff. I want to cover a bunch of things. We only have you for a little bit. John, let me ask you right now, when we talk about demonizing evangelicals, I want to be clear. This is to show you, this is called lying. The New York Times in the article quoted to prove their point on how wicked evangelicals are. They quoted Simone Gold speaking to an evangelical congregation. Guess what? Simone Gold does not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. She is a Jewish woman who happens to be on the right side of this issue. But they put her in the article, don't mention that she's not an evangelical. They don't, of course, mention Naomi Wolf, because Naomi Wolf is a pro-gay rights, pro-abortion person who happens to be on our side of the issue that we should be careful with the vaccines. It's so evil. I guess I say this because I want us to push back. When Trump the other day called on people to boycott Delta, Coke, are you aware, is American Airlines not part of the cabal that is criticizing Georgia?
You know, Eric, I don't know about that, but I do want to comment on the vaccine issue, okay?
Yeah.
I think we should be careful about the vaccine for health reasons because it was developed with such a breakneck speed, at a reckless speed. I think we need to be careful at the idea that the government has the right to force you to inject something into your body in order to have free access to public facilities and to walk around the streets. I think people at high risk for dying from COVID probably should seriously consider the vaccine. But
John, that's why it was developed at such high speed. That's why it was all of the normal rules were waived for those people. In other words, that was
right. And now they're trying to force
a solution just in case.
But I want to come back.
People. Yeah.
Right. I think only people at high risk of death for the vaccine should get the vaccine for moral reasons, because every one of those vaccines was developed using research on aborted babies. So as far as I'm concerned, they're morally equivalent to vaccines developed from Josef Mengele's research in the death camps during World War II. And scientists refused to use that tainted research because it rested on the deaths of millions of innocent people. Every available vaccine, as of now, every single one of them was developed using the bodies of aborted babies at some point in the research. So even
now, you're not an evangelical. So it's interesting that you're fear-mongering just like the other white evangelicals.
No, and yet
you're a Catholic. Fantastic.
I'm a Catholic. So what I'm doing is guilt-mongering. It's a little
okay,
different.
Very beautiful.
I just want you to feel some of my Irish guilt. Just want to spread it through the airwaves. Okay. And now, normally this would only be about things to do with sex, but I'm a little more moral, sophisticated. You know, abortion is connected to the sexual revolution. So you're allowed to feel sex guilt about that too.
Beautiful.
But
beautiful.
No, I don't mean to be smart, funny about this. It's just hard for me to stop. But I don't want to get the vaccine. I have some risk factors for COVID being particularly nasty for me because I'm fat. And so it might be a good idea for me to get this vaccine for my personal health, maybe. I don't think it's worth the moral compromise.
I think you have a moral obligation to lose weight so you don't have to get the vaccine made with aborted fetal tissue.
Oh, you know, Eric, now you're pushing it.
Now I'm pushing it, John.
I'm willing to take the risk because I don't want to be part of the pharmaceutical complex that routinely uses aborted babies' DNA to produce their products. We could develop ethical vaccines by using children who've been miscarried, whose parents donated them. That could be done. Nobody's bothering to do it because nobody cares. The way nobody cares that Uyghur slaves are making their iPhones and making their Nike sneakers, but they find it very convenient to talk about slavery 200 years ago because that's no skin off their noses.
Right. Well, John, I think what is happening is that Americans are waking up and we're going to be pushing back more and more and more and more. I think that anybody that traffics in this kind of nonsense, anybody like Coke, anybody like Delta, they are going to die. These companies are going to lose tremendously. I will never buy another Coke product until they recant. And when I say this kind of thing, I hope other Americans take this seriously. I hope you put this on social media.
Major League Baseball.
Fight back.
Major League Baseball deserves a boycott for what they're doing.
Oh, I will never go to a Major League Baseball game until they change their tune. It's despicable.
How dare a company that runs a sport and has a legal exemption from monopoly, how dare they tell us how to count the votes in our elections? That just show you how dangerous woke capital is, because they are not officially part of the government. So they can do a bunch of things and we're not protected by the First Amendment. We are seeing corporations becoming the enemies of freedom, and I'm all for voting with socialists to help screw these corporations.
We're going to be right back, folks. I'm talking to John Zamirak, and we'll have more on the sad tale of Talcum X. Don't go away. Folks, I don't want to forget to remind you, Church People is a film that's available at salemnow.com. There's all kinds of stuff available at salemnow.com. You can check it out. If you use the code Eric, who knows what will happen? Who knows? MyPillow will send you slippers. Just use the code Eric and good things will happen. Salemnow.com, Church People is the film. Some friends of mine are in it. They didn't bother to ask me to be in it because they're afraid that I will just suck up all the oxygen in the room. That's the kind of an actor that I am. John Zmirak, we've just got a few minutes left. What shall we discuss, my friend?
Well, you were just, if I can momentarily self-promote, you were just saying that I've given you a graphic novel I wrote it back in 1994, and it predicted the rise of someone like Pope Francis to power
in the
Catholic Church.
It's amazing. Now, it's basically, it's the Grand Inquisitor, Dostoevsky's Grand Inquisitor. Right. Tell us the title of the graphic novel and where people can get it, because it's insane.
Thank you. It's called The Grand Inquisitor by John Zmirak, illustrated by Carla Millar. She's this woman I knew from New York who draws in this wild goth style. I wrote it as a play, and the theater company went broke. I found a publisher and I found an artist, and we did it as a graphic novel. It imagines a liberal in the Vatican who's trying to save more souls. He's trying to save souls by making everyone non-responsible for their actions, by having the church be so confusing and liberal and opaque about its moral teachings that God cannot fairly hold them to account, so he has to reluctantly admit them into heaven. And I saw this as somehow in the back of the minds of liberal Catholics and other liberal Christians, they think they can gerrymander, maybe corrupt stuff, fake ballots into the election and predestination of souls. They can save people by making them invincibly ignorant of the moral law. So let's say, you know, you're sexually promiscuous and the church is not teaching against this. And in fact, you have priests saying it's okay. Priests saying gay marriage is okay. Priests saying maybe abortion's okay. Well, then God won't blame you for doing it, because the church told you it was okay. So this a perverse, depraved way of trying to save souls, because at the heart of that is the Antichrist, where you think you, not Jesus, are going to save souls. And you're going to do it by not through – you don't think the truth makes people free. You think lies make them free. And you think if you just fill people's heads with enough pink and purple smoke – they can't be blamed. They're like animals, and God will have to save them. And I think that's what's behind the progressive Christianity we see among Catholics and Protestants and Orthodox.
Well, it's interesting because you basically clarify what is happening. I think it's what they're doing without being clear on it. But what you do is you clarify and make explicit what is implicit and somewhat unconscious. They're doing it instinctively.
Right.
But it's called The Grand Inquisitor.
Right. Which is it's on Amazon.
A graphic novel by John Zmirak. Oh, my gosh. John, we've got to get all of your books available at mystore.com. I'm serious, because my books, many of them and almost all of them, will be available at mystore.com at really good prices, I promise you.
I tried to buy Fish Out of Water on Amazon, on MyPillow. It's not there yet.
No, it's not there yet. Mystore.com carries most of my other books, but all of my books will eventually be there. We've got to have alternatives.
That's right.
We've got to support Mike Lindell. Folks, I know I say this like a broken record, but Mike Lindell, you cannot imagine. I spoke to him yesterday for an hour on the phone. You cannot imagine the things that he is doing with his own money to preserve freedom, to help the nation. I'm in awe.
Let's remember that he helped finance the movie Unplanned.
No. It's humble. What he has done is and what he's doing is unbelievable. We'll talk more about it on the program, but I just want to say, folks, go to mypillow.com, use the code Eric.